57. They heard a low rumble, and Roger braced himself against the wall. They all gave each other looks. A second peal of thunder came from outside. Clive looked from Nate to the door and back.
Should we open it back up? Maybe we can find her?
Nate remembered the distant cloud of debris and shook his head. Tim crouched by Debbie and took her hand.
Debbie, he said, there's nothing you could have done.
She sniffed and her eyes flicked up to focus on him.
We barely got Nate and Zila out. You were doing everything you could to help save them. If you hadn't, we would have lost them, and probably me.
He set his hand down on her shoulder.
And maybe Clive, too.
Her arms tightened around her husband.
What happened is awful. But we all have to stay calm for now, okay? Right now, we need you to go into your apartment and see how much damage the wind caused. Check all the walls. Can you do that for us?
Debbie sniffled and nodded.
Good.
Clive helped her up and she shuffled across the hall. She vanished into their apartment and he stood watch at the door. Tim looked at Nate.
What now?
Nate gazed at the tenants, slumped in the hall. His eyes fell on 14 again.
I'm not sure. How long did all that take?
Veek pulled her phone out.
It's time for Zila to get started.
Nate blinked.
That was 10 minutes?
Not even, said Tim. But I think we all collapsed for a couple minutes once you were out and it was closed again.
Nate glanced over at Zila, who wiped blood from her nose.
You need to paint the door.
What?
The door,
he said. You still need to paint over it and hide the seams. She looked at the door.
I think the paint's on the other side of the galaxy with Mrs. with my brushes.
Do you have more?
I do, but they're good ones. I can't use them for—
You have to, he told her. His fingers cramped and he bit back a grunt. Go get your other brushes. Roger will dig up some more paint for you down in the cellar. He looked at the other man and got a nod in return.
My knife's gone too,
added Zila.
You can have one of mine, said Clive from the doorway. I've got two.
Roger helped Zila up. She hobbled on one shoe for a moment before kicking it off. The two of them shuffled down the hall toward the lounge and the back stairwell.
Wow,
she called to them.
We made a mess of the place.
Clive glanced between Nate and Tim.
What are we going to do about her?
He tipped his head at the door to apartment 14.
I don't know,
said Nate. He pressed his fingers together and forced them straight. We've got to take care of all of us first, then we'll figure that out. Another crash of thunder rattled the building. All your windows are gone? He glanced over his shoulder.
Yeah, there's glass everywhere.
Blame it on this storm.
Tell Oscar as soon as he gets back, that way he won't question it if you don't have your story straight. He pointed down the hall at the shattered front window.
We'll blame all of this on the storm. It's all broken inward, so he shouldn't question it.
In their apartment, Debbie lifted up a shredded quilt and started crying again. Clive went in to hold her. She broke down in his arms. Tim snapped the last padlock into place. The bottom one was missing. Nate reached up to rub his shoulder where it had hit him. It crossed his mind that said padlock was now in deep space, headed into a star that wasn't the sun.
So is Mrs. Knight. We need another padlock, he said. We'll have to pull one from somewhere.
The cellar storeroom,
said Veek. Tim shook his head.
Too visible. Everyone's down there at least once a week for laundry.
The roof, then, she said. You could do your publishing magic on one of the locks up there.
Nate nodded. Go to the roof, he said. Get one of the locks from the door, one that looks the most like the one we lost. Tim nodded and headed for the staircase. He passed Zila coming back down with a collection of brushes. She'd washed the blood from her face and some of her swagger had come back. He paused to give her a quick hug and she squeezed him back.
You should get cleaned up too, boss, she told Nate as she got closer. You've got a horror movie thing going on right now.
Nate dabbed under his nose. His upper lip was sticky. So was his chin and the corner of his jaw under his ears.
Go wash up,
Beak told him.
We'll get everything under control here.
Roger appeared up the back stairwell with a can of paint. It was coated with drips and small spills, but it moved like it still had some liquid in it.
Okay, said Nate. Everyone remember to talk to Oscar if you need to.
Go wash up,
Beak told him.
We'll get everything under control here.
Roger appeared up the back stairwell with a can of paint. It was coated with drips and small spills, but it moved like it still had some liquid in it.
Okay, said Nate. Everyone remember to talk to Oscar if you need to.
They had a perfect excuse to meet later in the lounge. Oscar found his own windows cracked and brought in the maintenance team for an emergency call. Men were all over the building, screwing sheets of plywood over the window frames. Debbie had recovered, but Clive kept a reassuring arm around her. He'd changed his bloody, shredded shirt for a tee. Zila wore a heavy sweatshirt and a pair of Uggs. She wrapped Roger's arms around her as well. Veek had a pair of backup glasses with thick frames. Nate thought about making a Velma comment, but decided against it. His hands still ached. His forehead had needed a Band-Aid and his shoulder had needed three. He'd been grateful to find an old pair of wool socks at the bottom of one of his drawers for his frozen feet. Tim had the flat screen on. Every channel was covering the freak thunderstorm which had formed over Los Angeles. One showed footage of planes making emergency landings at LAX. The Channel 7 meteorologist, Dallas Raines, explained how a storm of such magnitude could appear out of nowhere. He used computer models to show two high-pressure fronts colliding to form a low-pressure zone.
It was supposed to be clear tonight, said Zila. Clear for the rest of the week.
I think we did this, said Tim. He pointed up at the screen and circled the glowing green rendering of the storm. This low-pressure zone, we made it.
Roger frowned at the television.
How?
What do you think all that wind was?
Asked Veek.
We just funneled something like a few tons of the atmosphere off into deep space.
Among other things, muttered Clive.
Tim mimicked the weatherman's gestures on the screen.
Air rushes in to fill that gap, he said. High pressure hits low pressure area and wham, thunderstorms in July.
We should call the police, said Debbie.
They turned to look at her.
We need to tell someone about Mrs. Knight, she said.
Her eyes were open and alert. Roger shifted behind Zila. He shot a glance at Veek, who traded it with Tim. Clive saw it over his wife's shoulder. Nate leaned forward on the couch.
I don't think we can tell anyone, he said quietly.
Her eyes opened a little more.
Why not?
Tim reached over and took her hand, just like he had once they'd closed 14's door.
What would we tell them?
That she's dead.
And when they ask how she died,
murmured Veek,
what then? We tell them the...
Debbie stumbled over the words. She took in a breath to start again and let it slip out.
You see the position we're in, said Tim. If we tell the truth, the police will think we're lying. If we make something up, they might sense the lie from one of us. Either way, they'll assume we're involved in her disappearance.
We are involved.
He means actively involved, said Nate.
Don't you?
Tim nodded.
We'd all be suspects. When she never turns up, some of us might even get taken into custody.
We could show them, she said. We could open the door again.
Spectacularly bad idea, said Roger with a shake of his head. And I've heard some shitty ideas, believe me.
Assuming Oscar even let them open it, said Nate. He can just say he's the only one with keys to the locks. Heck, we made sure it looks like the door hasn't been disturbed in decades.
Zila had run out of paint and pronounced the door done just a few minutes after Tim snapped the replacement lock into place. It wasn't perfect. Nate could see the wrinkles of torn latex beneath the fresh coat, but Veek pointed out any irregularity could get written off as damage from the storm. Tim let go of Debbie's hand and stood up. He looked at Nate.
May I offer a suggestion?
Please.
The older man straightened up.
No one say anything. Don't say anything about Mrs. Knight to anyone.
Debbie and Clive both shifted in their seats. Even Roger looked stunned.
Are you serious?
Asked Veek. Tim nodded.
Say nothing. In 3 or 4 days, I'll bump into Oscar and ask if he's seen her lately. I'll tell him I loaned her a book or something. That plants the seed. In another 3 weeks, rent's due and she won't answer her door. He'll knock. Maybe he'll call. Finally, he'll unlock it and she'll be gone.
Nate looked at him.
And?
And nothing. She'll have skipped out or vanished. I guarantee, even if he calls the police, they'll barely investigate. There's almost 10 million people in this city. I'd guess a dozen of them vanish into thin air every day.
But she didn't vanish, said Debbie.
Yes, she did, Tim said. And we all know they can search this planet for 100 years and they will never, ever find a trace of Mrs. Knight again. Her disappearance will get handed off. Someone will do a routine investigation and that'll be it.
He paused.
I've seen it happen before.
Tears ran from Debbie's eyes.
I'm sorry, said Tim. But that's the way it has to be.
I think she has cats, said Clive. Someone's going to have to feed them.
Tim twisted his lips.
It would look better, he said, if the cats weren't fed.
Debbie's eyes blazed.
You are not going to starve her cats.
He raised his hands.
Then there'll be a big bag of cat food. The cats will tear it open and eat like kings. I promise.
She didn't say anything, but her gaze dropped away. Tim's eyes traveled around the room. Roger and Zila clasped hands and nodded their agreement. Nate and Veek exchanged a glance and nodded as well. Debbie stared at the couch arm, but Clive made an agreeable sound for them. Zila cleared her throat.
Does anyone know what her first name was?
Veek shook her head.
I only knew her last name. I knew she was a Mrs. because she once mentioned Mr. Knight not being around anymore.
I just knew her as Mrs. Knight, said Nate. I met her a few weeks back at one of our meetings.
Same,
said Roger. Debbie closed her eyes.
I think it was Linda, she said. Or maybe Laura.
Tim nodded.
It says L. Knight on her mailbox.
He sat down. They were quiet for a moment as the conspiracy settled over them.
I think Debbie's partially right,
said Zila. She swept hair away from her face as she spoke and then jabbed a finger down the hall. The fingernail was cracked lengthwise from tip to cuticle.
We need to tell someone about that room,
Veek sighed.
Like who? I don't know. Someone. NASA? They deal with space stuff, right?
And what do we tell them? Asked Tim. Hey, NASA, there's space in our building. A whole room full of it. Come take care of that.
Zila shook her head.
Not like that, no.
Well, how then? It's the same problem. Think of a way we could tell anyone about it and not sound like raving lunatics.
You know, forget what it is,
said Clive. His head twitched with frustration.
I want to know how. How is there a black hole in our building? And how the hell is it blocked by a wooden door?
Language,
murmured Debbie.
I don't think it's a black hole, said Nate. I think it's just space. It wasn't pulling us with gravity. It was more, well, the building was depressurizing and we were getting pushed in.
Tim nodded.
Thus the weather. Oh, said Clive. Awesome, now it all makes perfect sense.
Zila snapped her fingers.
What about Torchwood? They deal with stuff like this.
Veek smirked.
You know that's just a television show, right? Are you sure? I thought it was based on a real group.
Tim shook his head.
It's just a television show.
Think I know what it is,
said Roger. Veek rolled her eyes at him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He pointed across the lounge and through the wall.
Space room's there, right?
They followed his gaze and nodded. His finger drew a line across the room.
Clive and Debbie's place, the control room, is there, right?
Yeah, said Tim. What are you getting at?
It's a sandbag, said Roger.